Nancy Lee DeMoss has a question based on Titus chapter 2.
If you were going to disciple a younger woman, what are the major topics you'd want to cover? Well, you'd probably want to teach her how to pray, how to study God's word, how to witness. And those are crucial topics, and they're definitely part of the general educational curriculum for all believers. But isn't it interesting that none of these things appears on Paul's list of required topics to get a major in biblical womanhood? When Scripture addresses what women need to know, it brings up things that relate specifically to marriage and motherhood and the home. Now, that's not to say that every woman will get married and have kids, but it does indicate that the Lord wants us to love what He loves. Married or not, He wants us to have a deep affection for the family.
This is the Revive Our Hearts podcast for Wednesday, April 15th, 2015. All week, Nancy Lee DeMoss and Mary Cassian have been talking about their brand new workbook, True Woman 201, Interior Design. Today, we'll hear their discussion of Chapter 3 on having a heart for home. You can also see this discussion on video at reviveourhearts.com. As they began this session, Mary got a surprise on the video set where she and Nancy were busy recording.
What?
Oh!
Oh, Mary, it looks like you have a call from
you guys.
Somebody really special. Okay.
Okay,
hold on so everybody can hear this. Today is Mary's 32nd anniversary. And I asked you a little bit ago if you had talked to Brent yet.
Yeah.
And you said, no, we had an early call time. So look who's here live and
look
in person.
Who's here.
On Skype.
Look who's here.
Yeah.
So 32 years ago.
32 years.
What was happening right about now?
I was probably just getting dressed because we didn't get married until the ceremony was at 5 because I wanted everything to be dark because it was Christmassy and all the lights and all the candles and poinsettias all over the church. So
Brent, 32 years later, what do you love and appreciate about Mary that you didn't so much realize back then?
Well, I think some of the things that you know, realize and appreciate, they just get better. So I think I have said it's kind of been, from my end anyway, like a little bit like a fairy tale. I know it hasn't been perfect, but it, you know, I still have to poke myself. It still seems like a fairy tale, and that maybe I'm a romantic at heart, but it's true. And it's, you know, it's also true that a couple, family that prays together, they stay together, and then they play together. It's true. It's really, really true. So the Lord has such a wonderful plan there. And I'm still, like I said, I got to poke myself today. I can't believe I'm married to this amazing woman.
Well, we wanted to bring you a little closer together on your anniversary. Thanks for sharing her with us. And with
love you.
Love you lots. And both of you, just have a great time with the rest of your sessions. And be thinking of you and praying for you. Love you, and I miss you lots.
Okay, miss you too, sweetheart.
Happy anniversary.
Thank you. I can't believe you were recording that.
Well, it seemed appropriate as we're talking about loving husbands and children.
Yes.
Now, we got to reset to how we got to this loving husbands and children thing. Mm-hmm. We're in Titus 2. We're talking about the elements of biblical womanhood. And we started with discernment, that a true woman has right thinking that's mm-hmm. rooted in God's word. And then in the last session, we talked about how she has honor and reverence for God. And then as we get to that Titus 2 passage, this is perfect on your anniversary. It says that older women are to teach the younger women, to train them to love their husbands and children.
Mm.
Now, you'd think that would not have to be trained.
Well, you would think you go into marriage and you're so much in love that it's just going to be really easy for the next 30, 40, 50 years, and that nothing will ever rock the boat and make it difficult. But it does need training. And I know that I've benefited from older women in my life who have been examples to me. I think of one woman, and her name is Anne Gill, and she won't mind me telling this, but I watched her every morning. I was over at her home one day, and her husband was leaving for work. And as he left, she ran to the window and she waved goodbye. And this was an older woman. They had already been married probably 30 years or more. And I thought, that's just really incredible that she would do that. And so I thought, okay, well, I guess maybe I'll start doing that. And so when Brent leaves in the morning and before I go to work in my office, I started doing that, went to the window and took the dog with me, and the dog sat there and I sat there and we waved goodbye. And it was so interesting to me that probably 5 years later, I think it was in a church environment, someone was asking Brent, what is the measure of success in life? Tears welled up in his eyes and he says, success is driving off and seeing your wife and your dog waving to you in the window. It was so precious. Yeah. And I just think of so many examples of women in my life who have nurtured me and taught me as I've watched their marriages and watched how they relate to their husbands and how instructive that has been for me.
Which you're now doing for your daughters-in-law.
Yes.
As the baton is being mm-hmm. passed to that next generation. So mm-hmm. now you're the model and the one training the younger women. And in this, let me just back up here. In this whole Titus 2 passage, we hear about loving husbands, loving children, and then there are a couple other things that we're going to be coming to later in this series that have to do also with family. It talks about being kind, being working at home, being submissive to husbands. And when you put all these elements together, I think one thing that really stands out is the priority that God puts on the home. Mm-hmm. That this is not inconsequential. It's not secondary as a discipleship issue. This is It really matters.
This is core.
This is core.
Core teaching. And the interesting thing, Nancy, is that it's core teaching, but not only for marrieds. It's core teaching for everyone in the family of God. Because family and marriage and all of the earthly symbols that we have teach us about the kingdom of God and teach us truths that are eternal truths about the kingdom of God. So
they're parables.
They're parables mm-hmm. is really what they mm-hmm. are. They're illustrations. They're these illustrations that teach us so that we can visibly see it. And I think Paul was saying in 1 Corinthians, Paul says, don't be so concerned if you're not married, because singleness is also important, but you get to participate more fully in the marriage to which all earthly marriages point. You have more time to devote to that relationship and to the gospel and to spreading the word of God. So it's important to understand. I've had single women say to me, well, this passage doesn't really apply to me because I do not have a husband and I do not have children. But it does apply to you. And you as a single woman could testify to that.
And we're going to be talking about some of those applications. What can this look like, this affection for family, even if you're in a season of life when you don't have immediate family yourself, husband or children.
Right.
But I think on the other end of that, we want to say that this passage assumes that the norm is that most women will be married, will have children. It doesn't say if they decide to get married, if they decide to have children, then teach them these things. It says teach them these things because most at some point will be married.
Statistically, it's still the norm.
Right.
I think
85%?
80 to 85% of women will marry at some point in their lives.
So this is older women saying to younger women, you need to be prepared. Mm-hmm. This is God's norm. He may not have that for you, and you still want to be one who loves family. But there's an assumption, which I don't know that our culture makes, that this is a good thing, that marriage is a good thing, that having children is a good thing. And that's something we even want those who never have a husband or children to still believe that marriage and family are good.
It's important for singles to support that concept and to be cheerleaders, as it were. Even if a single woman doesn't have a husband or children, it is so meaningful when everyone in the community supports the marriages and upholds the marriages. And I've seen that in you, Nancy, where you have always been so supportive of my marriage and of my family. And you ask me how my children are doing and are so interested in their lives and remember their names and are constantly. And I watch you even as you're relating to other couples where you're always affirming the marriage as something very, very good and something that is honoring of God.
And contrary-wise, in our culture, it's pretty popular to, or just accepted to dismarriage.
Yes.
To say negative or demeaning comments. You hear it from married people, you hear it from people who aren't married.
I hear it in the church. I hear it oftentimes in women's groups where they're speaking negatively about husbands, negatively about marriage, and where there are negative comments or jokes. And this ought not to be.
Or about having children.
Or having children is one that's particularly right now where there's this whole movement.
You're pregnant again.
Exactly.
How many did you have? Don't you know how this happens?
Exactly.
Which is why when I see, I did this morning, I saw a woman who is clearly expecting. You got to be careful when you say this because you want to make sure it's really clear. But it was very clear. She's quite great with child. And I wanted to affirm her and say, that's so wonderful.
Wonderful.
I'm so thrilled you're having another child. In her case, it was her third. She's thrilled. But I want her to know at a time when she may not feel very attractive or maybe not sure she can handle having another child, I want to bless her and say, this is a good thing that God is blessing you with another child.
It is a good thing. And it strikes me that if marriage and family and children are symbols that point us and display the gospel, is it any wonder that in our society, Satan attacks at that very point that we're to display the gospel, the story of Jesus in our marriages, and Satan just works hard to destroy marriage, to destroy the concept of marriage, to make us devalue it, to make us devalue men, to devalue children, devalue everything that is precious in God's sight.
He's been working on that attack program ever since Genesis chapter 3, mm-hmm. when he drove a wedge between the wife and the husband, yep. and within the first generation. You have one son killing another son. I mean, just the brokenness, the dysfunction, the hatred, the barriers, the being ashamed in each mm-hmm. other's presence. That's Satan's counterplan. And what an incredible opportunity in a world that is so, whose families are so dysfunctional, mm-hmm. for Christian marriages, Christian homes, to say, there's a better way. Not just because the family can be great, but because it points to a greater eternal reality that is the family of God that we're wanting to make people hungry for.
Exactly. That's what families are to do, is to make people hungry for the family of God and for the type of relationships that we can have in the family of God. And ultimately, even bearing children is a sign, is spiritual children is what we're to be bearing. So
the concept of fruitfulness,
the concept of fruitfulness,
God wants us to be fruitful for his kingdom, to be bringing more children into the family of God. So when you have children mm-hmm. and when you appreciate and value other people having children, this says fruitfulness is a good thing. Multiplying is a good thing, which is where the world's redefinition of marriage, two men married to each other, if you can even call that marriage, can never have their own children. They can't be fruitful in the way that God intended for a man and a woman, husband and wife, united in a covenant of marriage to be fruitful and multiply. Such a picture of the union that we have with Christ and how that is to produce spiritual fruit.
Yes, when the church and Christ, when there's a coming together of Christ and his bride, there is fruitfulness and there is fruit for the kingdom of God.
Okay, I don't want to skip over this word in the text that the older women are to teach the young women, train them to love their husbands, love their children. Now, there are different words in the Greek language that can reference different aspects of love that kind of overlap and aren't always clear-cut and distinct. But there's a kind of that agape love we read about, that's God's unconditional love toward those who don't deserve it. And certainly that kind of love is important in mm-hmm. marriage and family.
And then there's eros, which is a sexuality,
love.
Sexual kind of a love.
But there's a different kind of love, or it fills it out in a little different way, the word that's used here. Explain that.
Phileo, which is brotherly love or just affection. And that's the city of Philadelphia.
Where I'm from.
Where is that where you're from?
I am.
You're from Philadelphia. Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. And that there's a connection there between that word, Philadelphia, and brotherly love, which is phileo in Greek. And that is the word that's used in this passage, really interestingly. Teach, the older women are to teach the younger women to like their husbands, to be affectionate towards them, to have an affection for husbands and children.
In fact, let me read a couple different translations here of that phrase. One says, to be attached to their husbands. Another says to be fond of their husbands or to be affectionate toward their husbands. So this sounds like a lot more than just fulfilling your marital duty to your husband. Mm-hmm. This has to do with enjoying him. Now, I'm a single woman. I'm out of my element here. So, but I've watched you and Brent, and I've watched you as a wife, married now 32 years.
32.
Still enjoying each other. I love that when we brought him on by Skype a few moments ago, you both teared up.
I'm going to tear up right now.
you still enjoy yeah. each other.
Yeah. Yeah, we do. And there's something, I always say there's something about old love. There's something about that love, that affection that just grows deeper and deeper. And agape love really is the love that says, I choose to love you. I will love you no matter what. But phileo is more the I am really enjoying loving you. Certainly that's in agape as well. As we said, these all overlap. But there's a little bit of a different flavor where it's I like being with you. I like our relationship and what that looks like and that God has blessed us in this way.
Okay, I see that sparkle in your eyes and it's very beautiful to see, but I also know we have a lot of people listening to or watching this who say that is not what my marriage is like at all. We've been married 32 years, maybe we've hung in there, but we just tolerate each other. It's mm-hmm. hard. So the luster is gone, the sparkle is gone, the romance is gone, and they're saying, I don't even like this guy. And maybe he's feeling the same way toward her. So how, and I know there's not just a sentence answer, but how do you cultivate and keep tender and fresh that like in your marriage, that affection, that enjoyment?
That's a good question. And I think that our passage talks about older women coming alongside the younger ones. And I know that even in my family, my mom has often encouraged me with regards to marriage. They're coming up on their 65th wedding anniversary
wow.
very soon.
So
just
you've got
starting
a great
to,
model there.
I've got a great
and they
model
still
there.
Enjoy each other?
They still enjoy each other most of the time. And
well, even Brent said that your marriage had been a fairy tale
most
of
the
time.
Exactly. And that's life. That's how
yeah,
life
right.
goes. But when I tell my mom, you know, I've been married 30 some odd years, she goes, oh, you're just starting to learn about marriage.
Wow.
Because she's always encouraged me to be a good husband like her, to enjoy him, to appreciate him. And so I think that on a practical level, it's very good to be in community and to be encouraging one another. And when you hit those bumps or those really tough times in marriage, to keep our eyes on what's important and to lean in and to get strength from the Lord.
Because the opposite of that would be when you see a quirk, which every person has them. You have them, mm-hmm. Brent has them. Mm-hmm. Believe it or not, I have some. But I'm not trying to live with a husband. You are. And when you see those quirks, I think what so many women do is go to their girlfriends or their mom or their kids, worst of all, probably, and say, can you believe he, you know, and to then diss and badmouth and mm-hmm. focus on those quirks. And then you get people chiming in, yeah, I know, you should see what my husband does.
Mm-hmm.
And none of that breeds or builds affection.
That's
in marriage.
Right.
It breeds distance and you put those little distance makers one at a time. It may not seem like a big thing, but you know, you get to a certain point and then there's a brick wall mm-hmm. between the two mm-hmm. of you and you say, how do we get here? We can't stand each other.
Forgiveness, forbearance, those are so important. But you brought up a good point. I think gratitude is actually huge for maintaining that affection and just remembering the things that you do like and being grateful for those.
Or the things you used to like
or the
that maybe
you've
forgotten
like,
and you haven't nurtured.
Or the new things. And being Elizabeth Elliot once said in a radio program, and I heard her say this, and it struck me so profoundly that I wrote it down and I put it as a saying above in my place of where I sit and have my quiet time. And it is always possible to be grateful for what is given rather than resentful over what is withheld. One or the other will become a way of life.
Yeah.
And I remember listening to that as a young married woman and trying to incorporate that principle of gratitude in my life and in my marriage, in my home, being grateful for what I have rather than resentful over perhaps some shortcomings or quirks or things that aren't there. And I know that I've witnessed four women who the bitterness and the resentment has
yes.
become a way of life. And that does, it creates more distance, and eventually there are more and more cracks in the foundation when there's not that gratitude and that deep gratitude.
And I think you and Brent demonstrate the choosing the pathway of gratitude, because you have fueled that, each of you, focusing on what you appreciate about mm-hmm. the other, not focusing on the quirks or the negatives or the differences.
It's a good thing.
And as a result, you still, like, you glow around each other, mm-hmm. still really enjoy each other. And what a picture that is mm-hmm. to a watching world that can hardly tolerate living in the same house with each other in so many cases, to say there is beauty in this relationship of marriage that points to the ultimate marriage of Christ mm-hmm. and his church. It makes the gospel believable.
And there's even beauty in the difficulty. I have seen women who have had very difficult husbands, and that's not the case for me, but I have walked that path yes. with many women yes. whose husbands are harsh, yes. Demanding, angry, very difficult men to live with. There's beauty in the perseverance, and there's beauty. I think of the marriages that speak the most of the gospel to me, and the good ones do, but the ones that really proclaim the gospel loudly are those ones where the women are able to say, it was very tough, but by the grace of God and with his help, we've been faithful.
Persevered. And the fruit that comes out of that, mm-hmm. that hardship is really beautiful. And in many cases, not all, but in many, that perseverance, that loving through it all, becomes transformational and bears fruit in the life of the difficult partner.
Yes.
It can really change. God can change that person as that man lives in the context of a woman who really loves him.
We've heard so many testimonies of that through the True Woman movement, of testimonies of women who have walked that difficult path and who have wrestled with this passage in Titus and everything it says, and said, I am going to hang on to this. I'm going to believe that what God says is true, mm-hmm. and I'm going to apply it in my life. And we've just seen transformation happen yeah. in those women's yeah. lives.
And a lot of those stories at revivearhearts.com that listeners can go to and see some videos, read some stories, hear some of them, those women tell those testimonies. Mm-hmm. Now, we've focused a lot on liking your husband, loving your husband mm-hmm. here, but also part of this passage is affection for children,
yes.
liking children. And when I think of someone who loved children, it's Jesus.
It is. He
who was
loved
not
them.
Himself married. And that has been such a pattern for my own life, to say, if I want to be like Jesus, even though God has not blessed me with children of my own, I want to be a woman who enjoys the children God has put into my life. They call me Yaya, which is Greek for grandmother. And I'm at that season of life now when my friends' kids are having kids, and they'll come to my house, Yaya, we're so excited to see you. But I love those kids. I enjoy them, and they enrich my life.
I love that you love kids. And it is so evident because I walk into your house and there's a high chair there.
It will be you soon,
I'm
sure.
There is a booster chair, yeah. and there is a box of toys downstairs.
What you didn't see, because I had put it away, was a big poster that some children made for me recently when families were guests in my home.
There was some coloring.
Yes,
up,
oh, that's right.
There were, up on the wall. Right, there were some pictures that children had obviously drawn for you, and that is so precious. And that speaks to the family of God and
God's love for His children.
God's love for His children. And as a
saint, even though children can make messes, children can be difficult. Children can be unreasonable. Mm-hmm. Children can make noise.
They can try your patience.
But we have a God who perseveres in love for His children. And when we love children, first of all, your own, mm-hmm. and then even others' children, that's a picture of God's love.
It is. It is a picture of God's love. And it is something that the Lord wants us to train younger women in. I think that this is for women, even who are not married, who do not know if they will be married, whether or not the Lord has that in their future. But I think as an older woman at this stage in life, it is my responsibility to teach younger women to value husbands, to value children, and to love children. So even if those women aren't married, even if they're career women, if it's a lawyer, a doctor, a CEO, a woman who there's no husband on the horizon, but still to have an affection for children. Now, she doesn't have to be the one volunteering in the nursery, but still to have a real appreciation and affection for God's family plan.
And again, God's way tends to go counter to the culture. Mm-hmm. So the culture is children are a burden. You don't want to get pregnant. That'll mess up your body. You won't be able to be this trim, fit young thing that you were when you were, you know, teenager. And children do definitely change the mm-hmm. life, a woman's life. But the heart of God is to embrace children. The heart of a true woman is to love husband, love children, respect and value marriage, value children, the willingness to have them if God blesses with them. And that doesn't mean God's going to give you 15 children. There aren't very many people that God would entrust 15 children to. Mm-hmm. But it means whatever his plan is for your life, that you're seeking him for that, you're embracing that. And yet, without falling off on the other extreme, which some do, which is idolizing
exactly.
family as if that becomes a God.
And I think that's an important caution, because I've seen that also in Christian women's lives in the church, where family and marriage becomes the idol. It becomes the reason for a woman's existence. And the reason for a woman's existence is glorifying God. And if she's married, she does that through marriage and through children. However, her reason is to glorify God. That's her purpose in life. And it's the same purpose as for a woman who has no children and no husband. But it is, it can become an idol where everything is about the kids, everything is about the family, everything is about the marriage, and they lose sight of the grand purpose. And even having children, the purpose is to expand the kingdom of God.
Yes.
You're supposed to be raising those children, having children for the purpose of expanding the kingdom of God, to raise those children in the ways of the Lord.
And releasing them over to God's kingdom purposes, not holding on to them to make you happy, mm-hmm. but giving them over to God for his kingdom.
Nancy Lee DeMoss and Mary Cassian have been giving us really helpful insight into God's heart for the family. Families are so important, but they're not the absolute most important. They'll be right back to pray. Nancy and Mary write about God's heart for the family in their new workbook, True Woman 201, Interior Design. In fact, that conversation they just had was based on chapter 3 of that book. I hope you'll get a copy, go through it, and consider taking a small group of women through it with you. This study will help you better understand what the Bible has to say to you as a woman. And you'll discover how practical and relevant these biblical principles are today. We'd like to send you a copy of True Woman 201 when you support Revive Our Hearts with a gift of any amount. Your gift will help support the ministry and help us continue bringing you biblically oriented conversations. And you'll get this helpful study as well. Ask for True Woman 201 when you call 1-800-569-5959. That's 1-800-569-5959. Or visit reviveourhearts.com. Today's program was recorded on video. We wanted small groups to be able to experience this teaching together. You can watch that video right now at reviveourhearts.com. Well, tomorrow, Nancy and Mary will be back, and they'll talk about how to keep thoughts and emotions under control. Now they're back to wrap up today's program.
Well, happy anniversary, Mary.
Thank you.
And I want to just pray a blessing on you and Brent, and thank the Lord for the way that your marriage and your family reflects so beautifully on the family of God. Mm-hmm. So, Lord, we do thank you for this dear friend, this dear sister, and for Mary and Brent and the way that you've blessed their marriage over these 32 years, and for the way that you've blessed them with three sons who are now young adults, two of them with families of their own, grandchildren here and on the way now. And Lord, thank you for how their heart has been to glorify you mm-hmm. and to bring forth a godly seed for your kingdom. And I pray that you'd give them many more years of enjoying you together, enjoying each other, enjoying their children, their grandchildren, and even for difficult or troubled times that may be ahead that they can't even envision yet, because those times come into every life, into every family. And I pray that they would be so anchored to you and to your word and to your heart that you'd give them grace for the times that will be different than what they would have scripted, and keep them enjoying and loving you and each other. And Lord, for someone listening to this today who says, that is not the way it is in my family at all, I pray that you would extend the helping, healing hand of Jesus into that heart, into that home, into that marriage, into that broken relationship with a prodigal son or daughter or grandchild. And Lord, give hope, give courage, give the ability to persevere, to love as we have been loved, to love those others that you've put into our lives in ways that will be redemptive and will bring great glory to you. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss is an outreach of Life Action Ministries.